Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Before we get to Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades, in fact, let's check. Dorsey, are you there on line number one?
I am here.
Good.
Friday in Cleveland Flash. How's everything going?
Okay, it's going well. But I got to read this story to you, and I'd like to get your reaction. Because you never know what companies are going to do to try to market their products. And apparently, sometimes they just go over the limit here and maybe do illegal things. In this case, this is out of Boston. A pharmaceutical company founder, guy's a 76-year-old, John Kapoor, former chairman of Incils Therapeutics, all right? Apparently, he was accused of paying doctors millions of dollars in bribes to prescribe a highly addictive fentanyl spray, and we know how deadly that is. He was convicted yesterday in a case that exposed marketing tactics such as a stripper-turned-sales rep to give physicians a lap dance in order to purchase the pharmaceuticals. Opioid overdoses claimed around 400,000 lives in the U.S. between 1999 and 2017. According to the Center for Disease Control, 2 million people are addicted to the drugs. And this bozo is going around hiring exotic dancers to try to convince doctors around the country to ramp it up a bit, prescribe more so more people can die.
Anything to sell more, I guess.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's just amazing. And I know you've been all over the place. You've seen all kind of crazy things. The world seems to be moving faster, and people are trying to get away, make as money as quick as they can, and it doesn't matter if it's legal or illegal. It's just amazing to me. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out to you as we wrap up the work week here. I mean, I just wanted to hear your reaction on that. Okay, so, hey, first and foremost, you've got to be excited. I understand you're a big hockey fan, aren't you?
Huge hockey fan. Obviously, a couple weeks ago, we were thrilled with Blue Jackets. Went on a nice little streak to make the playoffs. They were the eighth team, the eighth seed. They drew the number one seed, Tampa Bay Lightning, who had 62 wins. So a lot of us, even diehard fans, kind of were expecting an early exit, understandably. But we swept the Lightning and then moved on to the second series, and last night we lost 3-1, very tough, hard-fought game four, but we're tied 2-2, and now the best of seven is reduced to best of three, and we go back to Boston, so we'll see what happens. But I like our chances, playing very well, moving the puck well, playing good defense. Boston's a very physical team, but we're matching their physicality. Every piece of ice is being earned, every shot, every goal, it's all being earned, so that's the playoffs, but we're excited, and we'll see what happens.
That's great. Hey, no, there's a lot of people talking about it here in northeastern Ohio, so that's I'm real happy for you. I know Columbus, you've been telling me for a couple of years now what's going on in that city, and that's just another feather in your cap down there, so congratulations. All right, let's move on.
Is that absolutely amazing? You're right, so thanks, Flash.
Yeah, let's move on. I want to get your perspective of the National Building Trades Legislative Conference. I know there were thousands of members in attendance there, and I know you were one of them. What's the takeaway? What's your opinion of what went on, and what's the agenda moving forward?
So every spring we meet for a week at the Hilton Towers, and they had some great speakers during the plenary session. Of course, nine of the Democratic candidates for president were there. Elizabeth Warren, I was very impressed with her. She gave a great speech, spoke very well. Tim Ryan, obviously from Ohio, was there. We got to go backstage, talk to him before he went out. It was great to see him and his wife again, talk to him about the campaign, about everything going on. But it was a great 2 days of speeches. And at the beginning, myself, Neil Amberge from the Iron Workers, Jeff Carey from the Fitters, we got to go down and meet with Congresswoman Beatty and Congressman Stivers, their staff, talk about some of the issues that are going on, talked about our pre-apprenticeship program. That was the big focus. Of course, Congressman Stivers is a huge advocate of the building trade in Congress. He's good on our issues, got a 100% voting record on Davis Bacon. His brother-in-law is a union iron worker in Cincinnati, so he understands the opportunities that lie there within the building trades. And Every year he has a huge career fair at Ohio State, 4-H building, where he draws hundreds of people. And he asked us if we would set up our booth there to try to recruit young adults and kids into our pre-apprenticeship and apprenticeship programs, put them on that path to the middle class. So we're working through some of those logistics now. Congresswoman Beatty, of course, she's always, you know, championed the building trades and everything we do and apprenticeships, and just great to be able to see them. And then we ended the week by going and sitting a large contingency of us from the Ohio delegation, like we do every year, sitting and just talking to Senator Rob Portman. He was talking about some of the money being allocated to do the cleanup down at the Piketon Project, which we're huge fans of, and glad that he's doing that through the DOE for us. A lot of building trades members down there working, cleaning up that plant that's no longer online. And then we also talked a little bit about pension reform. Of course, everyone's very fearful. Seems like the clock is ticking on the miners. We got about 14, 15 months. That pension will probably go bankrupt. Shortly after that, the Central States Teamsters pension is likely to fall. And if that happens under current conditions and the way everything is now, it'll bankrupt the PBGC. And that could be it for a lot of defined contribution plans.
Did I hear 14 to 15 months and it might be gone? Bankrupt?
14 to 15 months on the miner's pension, yeah. It's not looking good. They're talking about quite possibly it could be early to mid 2020. So.
Oh, my gosh. I heard a couple of stories. I didn't know it was that critical. We've had the Teamsters on the show a number of times, and they tried. I know Sherrod Brown was involved in this last year, and they tried to reach a consensus by the end of last fall. In November, they wanted to get it, but deadline came and went, and nothing was done. So
that's what Senator Portman said. He and Sherrod Brown work really closely together on a lot of issues. The biggest one that they've worked tough on is to try to solve this defined benefit contribution plan problem, especially as it relates, like I said, the PBGC. And he really thought that they were really close last year to something that the House and Senate could approve. And like you said, they just ran out of time. So hopefully they'll take another whack at it here this fall. We talked a little bit about infrastructure as well. He understands the need and the importance for infrastructure. I know we've talked on your show in the past, you know, he's a Cincinnati guy, and the Brent Spence Bridge, when we talk infrastructure, that's one piece of infrastructure that we talk about that has a possibility of failing. That I think it's the third most used bridge in the United States. Traffic goes across it every day from northern Kentucky into Cincinnati. A lot of trucking, a lot of goods and services. So that was a big topic of conversation, was infrastructure as well. So, you know, great to spend time with him as always. We're there every year. He gives us a good 30, 45 minutes, which, you know, that doesn't sound like a lot, but in the D.C. schedule with votes going on and committees and everything that he's doing, that's awesome that he makes that time for us, brings his staff in, they take notes, and does really well. So it was great to catch up with all three of them while we were out there.
Good, good. Bringing up the topic of infrastructure, you probably are aware of this week, there's a number of congressional leaders, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, I believe there were some on the Republican side, that met with the president about infrastructure, because that was one of the things he talked about right from day one when he took office, and nothing was done. Now, he made the comment that they were going to pump not one, but $2 trillion into the infrastructure. Didn't say where the money was going to come from. You know, he's sometimes short on substance, but what's your thoughts on that? You think that finally we're going to see something happen here, or what?
It's incredibly frustrating. I have a couple of thoughts on it. You are right. We talked about it before. The day after his inauguration, he had Sean McGarvey from NAVTU and guys from the Fitters and IBEW in a large contingency. I think he also had the general president from the sheet metal workers into his office on day one, and he said, "Your members voted for me because I'm a construction guy. I'm a builder." And that's what we're going to do. We're going to build. We're going to put people back to work. We're going to keep putting people to work. And he talked about it, like you said, $2 trillion in an infrastructure bill. But then, you know, the first thing he tackled was Obamacare, trying to repeal Obamacare. Then after that, it was the Tax Act, where he gave the tax cuts to the richest 1%. And I think a lot of that $2 trillion that he planned on using for infrastructure, I think, is now gone in tax cuts. Stuff. And I think Nancy Pelosi and some of the leaders in Congress see that. And I do think this as well, and I tell my members this, and this is just my opinion. I think that any future infrastructure bill that comes from the federal government, because of the gas tax and things like that, and obviously the deficit, I think it's going to have a private public partnership. And it just seems like right now that even though that there's a lot of businesses that are benefiting from infrastructure, I mean, we can look here in Central Ohio, the Googles and the Facebooks and the Amazon, as we've raised the gas tax here, and we're going to start rebuilding roads, highways, and bridges here in Ohio and improving our system. A lot of those businesses are benefiting, and a lot of businesses on the national scale don't seem to want to partner with the federal government to do anything about our infrastructure concerns. I think that's what the problem is right there.
All right. We'll see what happens here. All right, Dorsey, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get an update on what's happening in the Columbus, Central Ohio area. Dorsey Hager, the Columbus, Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org, one of the many sponsors of this radio broadcast we call America's Workforce. Also, Russ Choma will be joining us on behalf of Mother Jones Magazine, Trump and the Banks and His Golf Game. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
Hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland at 216-881-1802. Call Music Talent of Cleveland as your dependable source for professional musicians in Northeast Ohio. Union musicians add harmony to weddings, elegance to parties, and uplifting music for all events. Music Talent of Cleveland contracts solo and ensemble musicians as well as bands and orchestras for single engagements. So hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland today. 216-881-1802.
With 650,000 active and retired members and a legacy of more than 116 years of accomplishment, the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers is a force to be reckoned with. We're fighting for economic prosperity through the creation and preservation of good jobs, fair trade, and respect for America's working families. The Machinists Union. We helped build this country, and we're protecting the people who live and work here.
A message from the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
Chris LaGrange here, host of UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange. Talk news that works from the people who go to work. The fastest growing podcast on, in, and around the internet. Join us live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter, or listen on UCOMLive.com. Our loud and colorful panelists bring you news, progress, and workplace politics like no other. So subscribe today wherever great podcasts are found.
For a quarter of a century, America's workforce has helped empower the union movement. I'm Terry O'Sullivan, General President of LIUNA, the Labor's International Union of North America. From the strong, proud, and united brothers and sisters of LIUNA, we wish you congratulations on your 25th anniversary.
Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Let's go back to our live line with Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades. All right, what's going on here with this? What is it, the Linden Rec Center? There's a community agreement here. Talk to me about it, Dorsey.
Yeah, so Mayor Ginther and his continued advocacy of the building trades, pre-apprenticeship, apprenticeship programs, constantly partnering with us to try to create job opportunities for members of the city of Columbus, not only the city where he's mayor at, but also all of Central Ohio. And, you know, we did a community benefit agreement on Fire Station 35, which was about $11 to $12 million project that's going on right now. And we did a project of that size to kind of have an idea of, you know, a pilot, how things would work and what we could do and stuff. And it seems to be going well. There's, you know, obviously benefits in there for the community. Aspirational goals, local hiring at 20%, minority hiring at 20%, local hiring at 50%. We're exceeding those goals for the minority participation on the Fire Station 35 is at 22%. So we had some discussions with James Miller, who's in engineering at Rex and Parks, and also Brian Clark, the mayor's chief of staff. We ironed out another community benefit agreement on the Linden Recreation Center, and we had our press conference 2 weeks ago where Mayor Ginther spoke about it, the benefits and the pathway to the middle class and the opportunities there. And we also heard from our newly appointed IBEW 683 member and Columbus City Councilman Rob Dorns. He spoke as well. And it was just great event, great job by the mayor and his staff. And we got this thing signed, sealed, and delivered, and every trade under the umbrella of the Columbus and Central Ohio Building Trades has signed on to this community benefit agreement. We're going to build this $23 million recreation center, and we're going to use local people while we continue to diversify our workforce and build this thing on time, under budget, and safely for the city of Columbus.
That's fantastic. $23 million. Feather in your cap on that one. That's good. You could bring all the parties together, make it work for everybody. I like that.
Absolutely. And we're not only doing recruitment for membership, we're doing recruitment for contractors as well, and showing a lot of these contractors that do work with the city that maybe had fears or whatever about building trades, you know, how we can help them partner to make their businesses better. So it's working great for everybody. And, you know, kind of segueing into the last thing I wanted to talk about, the bond issues for the city of Columbus. You know, next Tuesday's primary day. Early vote has already started, so if you haven't voted, you know, make sure you get out and vote. But in the city of Columbus, we have bonds 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, issues 7 through 11. And it's to generate $1.3 billion in funding at no tax increase to use for police stations, fire stations, substations, new equipment for police and fire and safety, new sidewalks, repaving roads, helping out some of the neighborhoods and communities. But also there's $150 million in the bond issues advocated for a new municipal courthouse. And the mayor has already talked about, you know, if we can get this bond issue passed, which it looks good, you know, using another community benefit agreement on a much larger project. So that way we can create more opportunities and more pathways for residents of the city of Columbus.
Wow.
About that's $150 million courthouse. So that would be awesome.
That's a lot of bond issues, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. What's the track record for passing issues like this in Central Ohio?
City of Columbus is usually pretty good, pretty progressive. You know, under Mayor Ginther's leadership, you know, we've talked about this. He's unopposed this year.
Mm-hmm.
So he's really taken the bond issue kind of under his wing. He understands how important it is for the city. He's been doing a lot of the PR. He's been doing a lot of the fundraising. He's been getting out. I think there's three commercials now that are airing pretty much around the clock. A couple of our members, Rodney French and Mackenzie Quinn, are in one commercial, which is kind of nice. A bunch of us building trade members and some of the footage from the signing of the Linden Rec CBA is in the other commercial. So we're standing there with Mayor Ginther in support of bond issue 7 to 11. So, but they're all some pretty good spots. They're running 24/7. I know people are probably getting sick of seeing them, but hopefully they've got it in their mind that we need to get out next Tuesday and vote and get these bond issues passed. It's important to the growth of the city and everything that, you know, we've discussed.
And if all of them pass, you said $1.3 billion will be pumped in then from these issues?
Yeah, some of it's for affordable housing. A lot of it's for, you know, safety equipment. There's some for police and fire substations. You know, as the city continues to grow and the population increases, you know, we need more substations, neighborhood fire stations, stuff like that, which is understandable. And then also, like I said, the one thing that, you know, it's all important, but the one thing that catches the eye of the building trades is that new municipal courthouse. It's really needed. The municipal courthouse downtown is outdated. I know the mayor did a study to look at renovating it. It was around $90 million. So the thinking is let's build a new one at $150 million, and then we got something brand new for just a little bit more. So that's in the bond issue as well.
I'll tell you, that's chump change compared to what's going on here in northeastern Ohio, $150 million, because they've been looking at our Justice Center. And to do that all over again, and that's on prime property in downtown Cleveland.
Yeah.
They built the Hilton next door, and then you got Brown Stadium right across there. But to duplicate something like that, we're looking at probably $1 billion, and they're looking into possibly just renovating that. I mean, the jury's still out on that, no pun intended, but
That's right. That's pretty good.
But you're getting things done down. That's why Columbus is now the 14th largest city in the country?
14th largest city in the country. I think under the mayor's second term, I think we'll pass San Francisco and we'll be the 13th. So
that's amazing.
We'll see. A lot of people are moving here. It's not just Columbus. It's Franklin County and the Central Ohio region. It's just incredible the amount of growth. The other thing, too, is, you know, we have a lot of colleges and universities here, similar to Cleveland. You know, we have Ohio State. We have Columbus State, Capital,
sure.
Otterbein. A lot of the kids are staying here now. They want to stay here. They want to be in Columbus. I mean, you know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of job opportunities, a lot of Fortune 500 companies. You know, you have the Scotts Company, you have the Wexners, you have the Battelles, you have the Ohio State University, which is a huge employer. You know, a lot of kids are staying here and living here, which is good. It's really good.
I know. It's amazing. And a lot of that has to do with the politics, with people working together. You mentioned how the building trades are working. There's members. There's a member of the IBEW. You said was appointed. Was that the Columbus City Council that you referenced?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Rob Dorns, lead counsel for ACT Ohio, an IBEW member. Yep. Just got appointed to city council. He's out hitting the campaign trail hard. He's been on for 8 weeks now, and we're getting out and doing everything we can to make sure we keep on city council. It's like we said, he's up for election in November. So, but everything's good. You're right. It seems like we're all working together. We're all rowing in the same direction. There's a lot of positive things happening here in Columbus and Central Ohio.
Well, keep it going, my friend. You take care. Keep up the fight. Good luck on the Blue Jackets there, okay?
Yeah, hopefully when we talk next month, maybe we're talking Stanley Cup Finals. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. But I do know that maybe by then it will have stopped raining and we'll be talking some more baseball. That would be nice, you know. So.
Oh, I
but,
know.
Looking forward to summer. Looking forward to summer.
You take care. Enjoy it, and we'll talk to you in June, okay?
All right. Have a great weekend. Thanks so much, Flash.
All right, Dorsey Hager, ColumbusConstruction.org. Dorsey with the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Quick break. Russ Choma from Mother Jones Magazine coming up next. You are listening to America's Workforce.